The woman is now powerful. The woman is now powerful. She just needs to tap into the source that will give her the power, that this power will be revealed. A woman is very powerful. That's why if you're looking at the basic serving of God, woman is exempt from most of everything. Why? Because her source is so powerful. It says, our sages say, that a husband will make a woman, one tear will come out of her eye. He made her feel bad. Whoa, what this husband is going to have to go through for hurting his wife for 1 second. A woman is extremely, extremely powerful. I do. Just to have a big ego. The thing is that a woman... Yeah.
That's how powerful a woman is.
A woman is extremely powerful. She just needs to know where to tap into her source. And when she taps into her source, the power is revealed. But that's why I'm teaching you now that it's not only doing the basic things. A woman has such power. She just needs to connect.
How do you connect? It's difficult.
It's not difficult.
So
doesn't matter. So you do challah and your candle, and you do everything that I told you last week to do, and you create the vessel. That's going to be the blessing to bring you your husband. And when your husband comes, A, you're going to marry the right husband and not the wrong husband. I think you left after I told your friend. I added some more things. But when you create the vessel the right way, not only that you get the right husband, it comes in the right way, so there's no confusion. And you get your husband refined. Then you'll get the merit to do the family purity. But in the meantime, you do the candles. You do the challah.
What if you end up with somebody who doesn't want to tarot?
So that's why you have to do a good vessel. That's exactly what I said. That when you do a vessel, you get... When I said the right husband, you're going to get the husband anyways. The right husband is that he will want to keep Shabbat with you. That he will want to do family purity with you. That he would want you to be modest. That he would want to send your kids to... a Jewish school and not public school. That's why I said the right husband. Because it can be the right husband in the physical, but he can tell you, I don't want all these rituals. I don't want you to be dressed modest. I don't want you to keep family purity and sleep in a separate bed once a month. That's why you want to pray to have the right husband, that he will have the clarification that that's the right thing. Now, your husband doesn't need to have a long beard like me. He needs to have the basics of Judaism. He needs to pray. He needs to give charity. He needs to be honest in business. He needs to study Torah. He needs to teach his kids. You want the basic. I have a friend who has a very difficult time becoming religious because he looks at me and he's like, I don't want to become you. I told him, you don't have to become me. You don't have to go with a black suit in 100 degrees outside. You don't need a 2 foot long beard. You need to do the basics. You need to study Torah. You need to put tefillin. You need to eat kosher. You need to keep Shabbos. This is all extras. And he has a hard time because he's like, I don't want to be fanatic. I told him, it doesn't say anywhere that you have to be fanatic. That's a choice. But you need something. Now, when you make yourself the right vessel, you'll get that husband that he will look at you and you'll tell him, you know that I really want our house to be a Shomer Shabbat house. And I want the house to be kosher. He's not going to tell you, first of all, you might be extra lucky, and the husband already come and he'll tell you, I want you to be religious because I'm already keeping Shabbat and eating kosher. On the other hand, it can be a husband says, you know what, that sounds amazing. That's the house I want to build. That's the wife I'm looking for. So you have the power to pray and to prepare the vessel to be worthy to the right man. Of course, one can say, the vessel is simple. The vessel is that you have to keep Torah and mitzvahs. That's the vessel. And you do the most you can, the best you can, as much as you can. So, excuse me?
There is a lot of rabbis that can pray for the people that want to get married, aren't there?
I don't believe in all the hocus pocus. I believe that a person wants something. If I want something, I go and work, I get money, I go and buy it. Of course, praise around help. But if one wants something to happen, He needs to do it. Hashem doesn't want you to go and tell other people, pray for me. You know, Hashem, my grandmother always said a very short and smart sentence. God helps people who helps himself. That's it. Now you can explain it in a physical way, but you can explain it in a more clear way. Hashem tells you, do mitzvot, don't look for hocus pocus. Don't go to all sorts of rabbis that will, you know, give you threads and stick things on your head. This is nonsense. Do mitzvahs. This is the kli. You're asking how you create the vessel? You do a vessel. The vessel is mitzvot. You keep kosher. You dress modest. You pray once a day. You give charity every day. There's so many mitzvot one can do. And the thing is that most people look at a religious person, a man or a woman, and says, "Ooh, that's too much. I can't do that." You don't have to do that. If you do the basics, it doesn't affect your life. When I became religious for 2 years, I was the complete opposite, a complete atheist. So in my mind, I was like, that's impossible to become religious. So for 2 years, I would say I was 50% religious. You know how much I did? But the external part stayed the same. I didn't go with a yarmulke. I didn't have a beard. I didn't wear tzitzit. I ate kosher. I said brachot. I prayed. I gave charity. I refined my inner part. Stop lying. Stop cheating. Stop this. Stop gossiping. There's so much one can do to create a vessel. You don't have to become fanatically religious. This is what's called a madriga. It's a different level. But just the basic that you are obligating on doing is you have to eat kosher. You have to keep Shabbat. You have to be modest. You have to pray. You do the basic things. The external, your life doesn't get affected from that. To pray takes you exactly 10 minutes. That's
can
it.
Can you tell us a little bit, are you done with
this? Almost done. Almost done. The thing is that, going back to what I said, to create a vessel, you do it with Torah and mitzvahs. You do what Hashem wants. The easiest way to explain it is Hashem is the ultimate source of good. He just wants to give you. But if you don't put your hands out to receive it, you'll never get it. And the way to get Hashem's abundance is to make a connection. It's very simple. I can have $1 million in my bank account. If I don't go to the ATM, the money is not going to be delivered to my home. I have to make an effort. I have to connect myself to Hashem. And Hashem gave us the instructions how to connect ourselves. 613...
For years, when I pray for something, you know, and I get it, it comes out not very good. Oh, you want it? Oh, let me show you. Here you go. Here, if you pray for this, here, let me show you. It doesn't really come out right. Let's put it that way.
So that could be, that the vessel was not the right vessel to receive the blessing.
This year, I know the very mitzvah here.
Good. I'll give you an example. A person can do hundreds of mitzvot and create a beautiful spiritual vessel and then do one sin that will create dirt, a blemish on this vessel. Right away, the light that was supposed to go into this vessel moves back. One bad thing and 100 good things. A person can do 100 mitzvot.
You can't be perfect.
You can be perfect. First of all, you have to do what's called hishtadlut. You have to do something. You can't say, I can't be perfect, so today I'm not praying or giving charity or eating kosher. You have to do an effort. If you do an effort, then you're creating the vessel. Don't worry. You do the first step, Hashem will complete the rest. But a lot of people, what they say, I can't be perfect, so I'm not going to bother. That is not the right way. You can say, I'm not perfect, but I'm going to do the best I can, that I'm going to, every place that I'm going to go, I'm going to check the hechsher. Okay, sometimes it didn't work out. And I'm going to do the best that I can to pray every day. But there, it didn't work out. The thing is that the way I see it, I'm just harsh on myself and others. I don't believe in any excuses. Because if you really want something, you do it the right way. If you now would be offered a job that pays you $1 million a year with a long list of demands, you would do anything in your power to follow these lists of demands because you want $1 million a year. It all depends on the level of your desire, how much you want. This is called ratzon. If you have a very high level of desire, ratzon, you'll do everything. So the thing is that you have to nourish your ratzon, your desire to something. If you want it only a little bit, you'll never achieve it. If I want now, if I'm overweight and I want to lose 100 pounds, if I'm really serious about it and I have the real desire, I'll do it. If I don't, after a week, it's not working, why bother? Nobody's perfect. It's too hard.
But when you diet or whatever, you want to see the results. If you don't see the results, it doesn't motivate you to continue.
So in spiritual world, you also see results.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
So you have to be, sometimes you have to, a person needs to be patient.
Yeah, very patient.
Because sometimes, I'll give you an example. I know a person who was very sick. And he came, tried many different places, nothing helped. He found the right person who gave him very like alternative medicine. And the person told him, you know, you need to come here for like 3 months. And we have to do a lot of sessions, and it's not going to be so. It's not going to, I'm going to do one session and that, it's over. The person was like, 3 months? Can't you give me a pill? He's like, no, I don't work pills. Pills is a temporary thing. So in this world, there's temporary solutions and there's the real solutions. Now when a person is very far away from the source and suddenly he decides to come back, there's a journey till he gets back to this place. And that journey, sometimes it's hard, and a lot of people will give up in the way and say, it's too hard. I don't see any results. Back to square one. That's why when a person wants to get closer to the source, if you want to be in shape, you hire a personal trainer. If you want to be a singer, you hire a vocal trainer. You want to be Hashem's daughter, you go to a rabbi who tells you, do this, do this, do this. You have to find the guy that will tell you, don't do this, don't do that, don't go too far here, take it slow here. You need some type of a guide. The ultimate thing is that a person needs to have a goal.
Mentor,
that's a mentor. You can call it a rabbi, a mentor, a spiritual mentor. The thing is that the only way to receive the endless abundance of blessing from Hashem is only if you connect yourself to Hashem. You can't complain to Hashem, I didn't get what I wanted, if I'm connecting myself 1%, 2%.
You don't know Persian men? I don't know.
You don't know Persian men?
Mentor.
Oh, I'm sure there's many.
Or somebody that connected, you know, can...
If you really want and you pray to Hashem, He will send you the man. You know, there's a story, there's a very amazing rabbi who lived maybe not even 100 years ago, he died. His name is Rabbi Ashlag. And he's called Baal HaSulam. He took the Zohar and he dissected it in such a way that you can understand it, learn it, and you live your life according to Kabbalah. And he, for years, toiled, begged Hashem, he fasted and prayed for hours and studied for hours, barely slept, praying, Hashem, send me my guide. And after many, many years, I don't know the story exactly 100%, but he lived in Yerushalayim, and one day a man comes to his door, looks like a beggar, like a homeless person. He right away recognized that that's the messenger. That person went into his house, the whole night taught him just the basics. He was like, I found Hashem sent me that mentor. The problem was that he got filled with so much, not ego, that was, I'm talking about a tzaddik, but he had a little bit of a yeshut that, oh, now I'm a little bit smarter. The guy never came back. He worked months fasted for days, didn't sleep, learning, prayed, Hashem, just send him back again. Whenever he crushed himself to the bottom, a few months later, that person revealed himself again, sat with him for a couple months, taught him everything, and disappeared. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. That's not the point. The point is that this tzaddik wanted it so much that he did anything in his power to get it. Hashem sent it to him. So when you really want something, it's not enough to say, oh, I wish I could find a good mentor. No. You have to really want it. Is that the easiest way to explain or to put yourself a test, what does it mean you really want it? Is in the physical realm, if you really want something, you're going to go on a nice street and see a nice store with a beautiful dress and you really want it. You're either going to go get a second job. You're going to go to your husband and be the nicest wife. Oh, man, just buy me this dress. you in the physical realm, not you, I'm saying in general, when you really want something in the physical realm, you do anything, you manipulate the situation, whether it's right or wrong, you do anything to get it. That's the test for you to see if you really want something. If I really want something that is in the spiritual realm, how much work are you willing to do for that? How much are you willing to give up? And that's exactly what I told you. If you really want to get something, the more you give up these little pleasures, that's when you show the Almighty, I really want that. I'm willing to give this up. This is nonsense. Eating, you know, how you said steakhouses, this is nonsense. I want to get married with the right man. This is the ultimate happiness. Not a restaurant. Restaurants, it's fine. But give me an example. Well, there's a big difference. The thing is that Hashem only knows what's good for you. And you have to pray for Hashem to give you what He thinks is the right thing for you. And a lot of people pray and they don't get anything, and they get upset at Hashem, and they get upset at the rabbi who told them to pray, and they get upset at their entire world. I prayed so much, I gave a lot of charity, I sacrificed this, this, and this, and I didn't get it. The easiest way to explain is maybe you're not supposed to get it. So you prayed, you were talking to them all. Hashem, it's almost like my son will come to me and beg me, please, please, give me this sharp knife. I want to play with it. I don't want to give it to you. You can harm yourself. Please, and for a whole month he's going to bother me. Why would I give you that? So I can't pray for what I think I want. I need to pray for what to tell Hashem, give me what you know is good for me. Maybe right now, it's not the right time for me to get parnasa. I had a friend who had a business idea, and he prayed so much for this business idea to succeed, and he did anything in his power. He studied, he gave charity, he did everything. And the business didn't go for 3 years. Anything that he tried to do, the business did not work. And I kept telling him, listen, obviously this business is not good for you. And Hashem is closing the door and the business doesn't work. Give it up. Hashem knows more than you. If Chas v'Shalom, this business will be a success, this will be your downfall. So Hashem is taking it away. He doesn't even give it to you. So when Hashem doesn't give me what I'm asking for, it doesn't mean I don't deserve it. It means Hashem says, that's not for you. I know so many people who come and tell me, oh, you see that guy over there? I love him so much. That's my type. He's handsome, he's this, he's that. Can you make the... Who is he? He's not for you. Forget about him. No, I want him. He's not for you. When somebody looks from the other side, he can see what's for you and what's for you. And sometimes you can look at something and say, oh, I want it so much. Yeah, but it doesn't belong to you. It has nothing to do with you. I have now a student girl that she's nagging me every day about a certain guy and try talk to him and talk to his rabbi. I tell her, he's not for you. Because I just know him. I know him and I know her. And I tell her, he's not for you. No, but he's this and he's cute. I told him, but he's not for you. You're wasting your time. Sometimes you look at something, it looks perfect for you. Somebody looks from this angle and tells you, what are you talking about? There's not even a connection.